Your inner geek wants to come out and play. But where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We don't have the show's namesake, BJ Shea. No. He's on assignment. But we've got Joey D's running the boards.
Yeah.
On today's show, I will talk with Gareth Von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. We will get some Magic the Gathering news because, well, they're just putting out so many more sets than ever before. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Maybe some other things. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com, because we can have all our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More!
Just BJ Geek Nation, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and radio.com app.
Oh, yeah. Get that on the radio.com. Tons of podcasts there, some other stuff as well. So it's a fun thing to check out on that. Now, let's get right with Gareth Von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. Again, that is sknr.net. There's some interesting convention news going out there. Gareth Von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed. That is sknr.net. And Gareth, I heard some weird rumors that Marvel might not actually be at San Diego Comic-Con. Is this true, or is someone pulling my leg?
Well, this is the million-dollar question that we're all trying to figure out.
Uh-oh.
So here's the official story. The word going around was that Marvel and, you know, by contrast, Disney would not have their usual presence in a Hall H and a larger segment. Now, we expected this because Disney has the D23 Expo in August this year. It's a biannual show.
Okay.
So we expected that would be to be the case because, you know, naturally they have a showcase where they show, hey, this is what we've got coming in the next 2 years. Everyone said, boom, that's it. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be something small here or there, but in terms of the big, you know, mass stage presentation, all eyes on us thing. Then we heard that Warner Brothers is not going to be doing the Hall H show, which got everyone thinking because Saturday is the night that everybody camps out to get into the, they camp out to get into the Saturday show, which is traditionally Marvel, Warner Brothers, you know, so on and so forth, making the big reveals.
Yeah.
And, you know, Warner has the superhero films, so, you know, they're like, oh, Wonder Woman 1984, blah, 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 blah. Well, now we hear that's not going to happen. So the big question, everyone's going, well, what exactly are they going to fill in Hall H, which, you know, seats upward of 6,000 plus people? What's going in there? And, you know, my wife has said, well, traditionally what has happened is that some of the shows in Ballroom 20, which is the second biggest conference room, like Riverdale and stuff, have made the leap from that Ballroom 20 over to
They've been that, called but, up you know, to the big leagues.
Right. But see, that's usually Thursday, Friday, Sunday. You know, we've heard rumors that, like they did a few years ago with The Force Awakens, you might get a Star Wars sizzle reel where it won't be a panel per se, but they'll show that behind the scenes video and stuff like that. Well, all of this has just been turned on its ear in the last few hours because this is what we're hearing right now. Even though they're still a few weeks away from San Diego Comic-Con, you know, they start hyping it. I'm sure you've seen the photos where we show the light rail for the city is done over in some of the upcoming shows as well as the CW ones. They're starting to decorate. Well, we're being told that as of the last couple of days, there's a lot of Avengers Endgame artwork going up all around the gas lamp district. And they say this is not just a couple of things. This is a pretty heavy thing. Now, unless Disney's going all in on promoting the upcoming Blu-ray or the fact that the movie is apparently being re-released with some additional footage, this seems rather odd. So people are scratching the surface, and now they're saying, while there has been nothing officially confirmed by Disney, several outlets are saying they're hearing Marvel's going back into Hall H and they're going to unveil the next phase
Oh, so it was like, oh, guys, we're not going to be here. And then all of a sudden, surprise, we totally have been planning this the entire time. And,
Right. And see, and this is the fun thing, because this is the whole chess game. Everyone's saying, okay, what exactly happened here? Was it what you said, where it was all an elaborate ruse? Or were they truly not planning to be there? Because to give you an idea, it's not uncommon for them in a year that they have the D23 Expo not to have a large presence at Comic-Con, because naturally they want their show to be the, you know, the outlet yeah. where all these big reveals and the celebrities come out and the big showcase. You know, we talked about how they had a presence at CinemaCon this year, but it was, Fox was blended into them. And so, you know, this is the big question we're all spending our time in the media this week trying to figure out. Was this always the plan, or was this something where when Warner Brothers pulled up, announced they weren't going to be there, did Marvel say, okay, boom, let's reassess our plans. We've got this thing all to ourselves. Let's go in there without having to worry about any DC films being revealed on the same day. Not that traditionally Marvel worries about that. And then, of course, the flip side to it is, okay, so how does this change your presentation? So the speculation that, and believe me, I've spent the last day or so talking with a lot of people about this. The new rumor, because we look back to the way D23 has been in the past, they have done things at Comic-Con and still done things at D23. Mm-hmm. Essentially, Comic-Con made the announcement. D23 is when we got the behind-the-scenes looks, when they trotted the stars out on stage and stuff like that. The belief is that Marvel may come on out at the hall, and they will announce this is our Phase 4 lineup. And that's it.
Yeah, and then at that point, it gives them so much more pull for people to want to go and check out D23 if there's any sort of announcement, even if it's just completely minor.
Correct. So the panel might be a situation where Marvel comes out and says, this is her Phase 4 lineup. Maybe they put a couple stars on stage. Oh, by the way, here's some stuff on the live-action shows that we've got coming on Disney Plus. And then they pull back. And then when you get to D23 a month later, that's when they'll say, oh, by the way, for example, a lot of people say, are we going to get some footage of Black Widow, which has apparently been filming? Well, some people say it's going to come at Comic-Con, and others say, no, wouldn't that be the perfect thing for them to make an announcement, maybe run a little sizzle reel, but as they've done at D23, show footage. I mean, I still remember Captain America Winter Soldier, where they came out and they said, folks, we're going to show you a scene. It's not finished yet. We just shot it last week, and it still has temporary effects, and they ran it right there, and it was the tanker scene from the opening of the film. Mm-hmm. So they have shown, you know, they go all out for their show. They're literally showing stuff. They had people, satelliting in directly from the set to the film, you know, saying, hey, sorry, I can't be there today, but boom, here we are on set. Here's a look at a prop. Here's a special trailer. So it's very, very interesting because, you know, the whole thing, it's the big dice game, and everybody's trying to figure out what is coming because, you know, as we've talked about before, D23 is going to be even more scrutinized this year because the question is going to be, are they going to incorporate the Fox lineup into their family of stuff, or are they just going to stick with Marvel, Lucasfilm, Pixar, and Disney at this thing? So a lot of crazy stuff.
It's fun, too, because it just sends the world in a tizzy trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And I think that's the most fun part for me, is trying to see what rumors or what things are out there and whether or not, like, I mean, just knowing Marvel, and I mean, I'm just being like, just thinking about just the trailers that they've put out where there was literally stuff in the trailers that were not in the movies and they did it on purpose. Like, I feel that with the MCU, everything that they're doing is weighted and has a purpose. But of course, that means we also have to wait it out.
Oh, exactly. And I think, you know, again, you've hit it right on the head. The fact is, they've got a lot of stuff coming between the Phase 4 films, the live action shows, and Disney Plus. Let's not forget there's some video games coming as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is the perfect opportunity for them to say, we can give you a little bit of sizzle here, but we're going to hold the steak until here because, you know, there's all sorts of crazy things that they could do. I mean, mm-hmm. We heard one person say, There was some rumor going around, and it didn't happen with something recently, but there was a rumor going around that at one of these events, they were going to hand out coupons essentially saying, you know, your first month of Disney Plus is free or something like that, and so on and so forth. And, you know, that's the beauty of it, because you have two gigantic showcases. And you know they're going to take advantage of that. Here's another one that people haven't even thought about. They are constructing the Marvel Land at Disney's California Adventure now. Now, we know a little bit about what's going on, but of course, we heard just in the last week, all the final permits apparently have all been approved. Now, we figured they were well before construction started, but, you know, whatever, it came out. We've heard all about the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and the tremendous response it's getting. Well, let's not forget there's another attraction that hasn't opened yet that is still under construction, and it's supposed to be a 20-minute long, first-order mission. And I've heard it's like a mixture of Pirates of the Caribbean, Star Tours, and Guardians of the Galaxy, the mission drop attraction. And so, you know, you have all of this, and it's like, well, what's Marvel coming? And then, of course, oh, yeah, let's not forget all these new properties like the Fantastic Four and Deadpool and the X-Men are now back in the hands of Marvel. So,
so exciting!
You know, and there's been a very interesting little tease going on the web of a spider web
that has four.
Yes. And oh yeah, we just happen to have that new Spider-Man movie coming in a couple weeks too, don't we? So, you know,
let the speculation, let the rumors run rampant, but I know that you're going to be the one figuring out what is truth and what is just a bold-faced lie. People can find that out at Skewed and Reviewed, that is SKNR.net. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Gareth. Check out all of that stuff, and we'll get more news as the convention news starts popping out some more, seeing what's really happening with Marvel, and I just have a feeling that their D23 Expo is going to be a big news getter in the world of the MCU. Moving on from that, I wanted to talk a little bit about Magic the Gathering.
Magic.
Ooh.
Because we just had Modern Horizons go out, and essentially it was a set only for the modern format, so they're for older it's an older kind of, not necessarily an eternal format, but an older format for older cards.
First ever modern-ish only format.
So yes, they were able to make more powerful cards that won't be in the standard format, so they won't warp what's going on now, but they'll be powerful enough to be played in this older format.
Which is smart, because a lot of the cards they printed would warp the standard format.
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. Like, any of the cards where you can pitch like a card for those, like, and that's one of those ones that's very interesting in terms of, oh, Force of Will is too powerful of a card, how can we fix that but keep what we wanted to do with that? And they're able to do that with Modern Horizons.
Yeah, and it seems to be really well loved right now from what I can tell.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of commander fodder, lot of really powerful spells for the casual format that I think is keeping I don't want to say keeping Magic afloat, because there's so many, I mean, people are playing it in the tournaments. They have Magic Fest this weekend, actually, in Seattle. So check out twitch.tv/magic. They'll be doing a whole bunch of stuff with that, with the Mythic Championship. But we're not going to talk about Modern Horizons, because that's old hat. That's already out. It's been released. Now we've got the previews for M20.
M20.
So it's, I don't think it's the 20-year anniversary of it.
No.
So I think it's longer than that. I think it's 25 years, but we're at M20, so sure, why not? Here's the deal, because I'm now reading and paying attention to stuff.
There you go.
The core set, 2020. So even though it's 2019, it's like, well, what you would do for like a Madden.
Yeah,
or NBA 2K, or a new car. Exactly. So M20 is the latest core set. Back in the day, core sets used to be kind of the intermediate, not necessarily beginner cards, but I feel like they've kind of put that to the wayside, and they want to have cards that will invoke some memories, some reprints that you'll enjoy, and then some of the characters, mainly the Planeswalkers that people know and love. And they came out of the booth at the beginning of this, because it was, oh yeah, we're going to have one of everybody's favorite Planeswalkers, Chandra. Not one, not two, but three Chandra Planeswalkers.
Hooray!
And I think it was really cool, too, because what they ended up doing was putting it as her sort of growing up. So it starts off with Chandra Novice Pyromancer, which is an uncommon, which is pretty strong.
Very strong.
Yeah, like elementals you control get +2/+0 until end of turn for her +1. A forecasting costs five loyalty, which is big. For her -1, you can add 2 red, and then for her -2, she deals 2 damage to any target. So no ultimate on this character. And it makes sense because she's the novice pyromancer. She's not going to have an ultimate yet. She'll have one way to plus and then some other ways to deal some damage. And then we get the second one, which is Chandra Acolyte of Flame, which costs even less, 1 and 2 red for a 4 loyalty, who has 2 zero abilities.
Interesting.
One of them I thought was really fun is, like, the first one, put a loyalty counter on each red planeswalker you control.
Sort of a plus ability.
And it is. So, yeah, so for her, it would still add a +1 because she's a, it doesn't say other. So it is on each one. So it makes sense. Her second +1 is to create the 2/1/1 red elemental creature tokens. They have haste, and then you sacrifice them at the beginning of the next end step. Strangely enough, works with her other ability that gives elementals +2/+0.
Nice.
So suddenly you might have a couple of 3/1 elementals, which is harkens back to one of her older planeswalker cards. And then she's got a -2 on this one. Again, not necessarily an ultimate. And interesting because just the +1, it'll be able to get you to keep working at it and getting up there. So even though there's only 2 zero abilities, she can still uptick. And it's you may cast a target instant or sorcery card with a converted mana cost of 3 or less from your graveyard. If it would be put in the graveyard, you exile it. So Goblin Dark Dank Dwellers. The Dark Dwellers, that ability or something along the lines of more of a fixed Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah, flashback kind of a thing.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool to see that. And then we get Chandra, Awakened Inferno. This is the big one. This is her at her most powerful list. My English is terrible on this.
Greatest.
Yes. 6 casting cost for 6 loyalty. This spell can't be countered is the first thing on that. That's big.
That's a big red ability, too.
And then suddenly, a +2, each opponent gets an emblem. So literally, her +2 gets an emblem that just says, at the beginning of your upkeep, this emblem deals 1 damage to you.
Oh, each opponent. Okay.
Each opponent. So everyone. So if you're playing Commander, this helps out everyone. And here's the deal. Emblem stack. So if you just keep doing this, suddenly they're getting 1 emblem, 2 emblems, 3 emblems. And there's no way to actually get rid of emblems in the game. And they have stated explicitly that you can't do anything about them. Maybe in the future they'll change it. I don't know. And then finally, and then they have the -3, which is deals 3 damage to each non-elemental creature.
Solid.
Which actually makes a lot of sense for this set as well, as we get into it a little bit more. And then her big one, the -X, deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker. And if a permanent is dealt damage this way, would die this turn, exile it instead. These are interesting planeswalkers because none of them have a traditional ultimate like you would expect. There's some other characters out there that have them, and not necessarily the planeswalkers in this set. Like, looking at some of the other planeswalkers, except for one, which is Mu Yang Ling, the Sky Dancer, she has a big -8. So that's the one you build up to. But everyone else seems to have kind of smaller versions of abilities and skills. So the planeswalkers are a little bit different than what you would traditionally be used to.
And I like what they're doing here. A lot of the planeswalkers interact with particular creature types or make creatures of particular types.
Yes.
Which is great because this does seem to be an interesting version of a core set in which creature types are going to matter.
And it goes from things from elves to elementals to knights or even elemental knights.
I've seen all these mythic rare knights. They're
crazy.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Like, they're really good. I mean, these are like three of a certain color, either black, white, or red as of this one, and that kind of makes sense in terms of knights because they're known to be in those colors.
Yep.
I don't think we'll necessarily see a green or a blue one.
What about a bear knight?
We could have a bear knight. That would be very interesting.
He can wear armor.
There are armored bears, and I think there might even be magic cards with armored bears. Ooh. As well.
I kind of want a knight elephant now.
A knight elephant. Those are what Loxodons are.
That's what I want.
and bring those back.
Bring them back.
So it's really fun to see what they're doing with it. I hit up mythicspoiler.com to get a lot of the more recent updates, and we're still in spoiler season with this, and I think it's essentially at this point, like, it's just spoiler season year-round. Wizards knows that people love spoilers and getting the reveal on the cards and get to see where they're going with all of them. So I feel that this is going to be one of those things that is still going to be popping out there.
And I feel like they've done a good job of not getting anything released too early or on accident, which is great.
Yeah. Like, and that's one of those things, like, you hate it when leaks happen. I mean, as a nerd who wants to know about all the information, you really want those. But at the same point, when you're looking at this, and there's people who get these cards, and we've had previews in the past, you don't want to take away somebody's glory, essentially, to release a card and have some fun with it, to make a video, to do some sort of content about it.
Yeah, an article. And I mean, Wizards has done a great job of spreading out these spoilers to a bunch of different sites.
Yes. So it's good to see all of that. And I mean, like I said, the newer cards are fun. They've got a lot of older cards. They're bringing back Ley Lines, certain ones that are very good. Ley Line of the Void, which basically means nobody but you gets a graveyard, which is very helpful.
Yeah. And again, playable in Modern.
Yeah. And a lot of these cards are still playable in Modern. A lot of them are going to be very, very good in Commander.
Yeah.
But it's one of these things where they had the new playtest group, and new at this point, it's been about 2 years. So now we're seeing kind of the fruits of the labor of what they've been doing over there. So we're getting balanced draft sets. So there's still powerful cards, and there's a lot of them that are very powerful in those certain formats, but they're not necessarily ultimately game breaking when it comes down to playing it in a limited format.
Yeah, I've got nothing bad to say about the last almost yearish now of Magic in terms of releasing and product management and the way that the game plays itself. I mean, the balance is great. And I mean, I feel like Standard and Modern are in a great spot right now.
And it's one of those things where it's, I don't want to say I'm surprised, but I'm just very happy that they're getting the feedback from people. They're understanding why people want to play these games, and they're getting players, very good players, to come into the fold to play and then test these out. And I mean, we've got some, just looking for like commanders, like we've got some commanders that are going to be very interesting.
Well, everyone's just been blowing up Urza for Modern Horizons. My gosh.
Yeah, he's broken. Like, he's super broken. I mean, come on, the guy's busted. But like, we see some Kalia of the Vast was a very good commander card that came out. We've got a new version of her. We've got a new version of Omnath, who is an amazing, awesome elemental. Now he's a teamer version, so the green, the red, and the blue.
Yeah, I'm just so happy to see the course that has multicolor cards, because a lot of times before, they kind of shied away from doing too much in that zone, only because of how difficult it can be to understand mana bases and that kind of a thing.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think it's great when you open up a rare, and you might not even be able to play it, but you understand how cool it is, because it inspires you to want a deck build.
And that's one of those things, too, like, when you get into those. I mean, there's a five, well, it's a colorless legendary artifact creature that has in its color identity the five colors. So he's actually a five color scout, essentially, that lets you exile the top three cards of your library, and you can play them this turn without paying their mana cost for a white, a blue, a black, a red, a green, and two.
Okay.
So, like, very, very powerful for Commander, and it might be worthwhile in a sort of like kind of a dirty kitchen sink.
Why not?
The kitchen table sort of thing. But also in Limited, he's a 5 casting cost, 3/5. So even if you're not like able to use his ability, he's still a decent vanilla creature that helps you search your library for a land card and put it into play.
Yeah.
Not a basic land card. Land card.
I like all lands.
That's very helpful in all that. So, by and large, very stoked for this. Gonna keep tabs on Mythic Spoiler to see what more comes from this, because it's not even close to being released yet. We're gonna see how that comes out and what's really gonna be happening with all this as we're going along. I'm pretty stoked for the core set, to be perfectly honest.
I'm interested to see if we get three of each of the Planeswalkers in this set.
I'm hoping that it was just a Chandra thing, like it's going to be her set, because I like seeing the fact that we've got one Sorin, but I don't know if we're necessarily seeing three Sorins at this point. That might be a little bit much there.
Rev, I like Sorin.
I know you do.
I like Planeswalkers.
Moving on from that, it is now time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, it's Friday, and that means movies. Now, we didn't have you last week.
Nope.
So, what came out last week?
Men in Black.
That is right with...
Well, Men in Black International.
Yes.
Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, so if you remember them from Thor Ragnarok as Valkyrie and, well, Thor...
I mean, she was also in The Last Avengers, maybe.
That's true. Yeah, she was also in the Endgame. So I hear, though, it's not really doing that great in the box office.
It basically came in first last week, but it only has 23%. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh. I think it only made like $30 million.
Yeah,
yeah.
30.1.
For like a summer blockbuster.
With that big of names?
You kind of need a little bit more money on that one.
And if you're an NBA fan, they dumped a bunch of money into the advertising. They crossed
crap
out of it. James Harden, all these big names that were doing the whole, they're aliens because they can play basketball so well. It was actually really funny, but...
Yeah, that's not really necessarily working. Yeah, and here's the problem. The production budget was over $110 million.
Damn.
And... that's not including advertising.
Wow.
So, yeah, and if they're dumping that much into it, well, I mean, if you like Men in Black, it's got to be better than Men in Black 2, right?
That's true. No, I completely agree with that.
So what's coming out this week then?
All right, so, I mean, I think that was technically, the fourth Men in Black movie?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's talk about another movie that is on number four.
Ooh, yeah.
Toy Story 4.
Oh, does that... Oh, gosh, I forgot that it is coming out.
Yep, it is coming out.
I guess it's out now. Yeah.
As of right now, certified fresh at 98%.
Not surprised. Right, yeah.
So I wanted to do a little research. I'm like, okay, how does it compare to the other Toy Story movies?
Totally.
Because this is our childhood right here, Joe. And I mean, maybe you watched as an adult.
Yeah. I wasn't an adult when it came out. I was a teenager. You babies, jeez.
Okay, sorry. I was like, wait, math. Because the first one came out in
95.
Was it that early? I thought it was later.
I thought so. Gosh.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Okay, yeah. I was like 16 at the time, so.
Wow, I thought it was later because of how awesome it looked.
Yeah, it's still absolutely in my wheelhouse with that. So, right. Yeah, I watched the first one, and maybe the second one, third one, I had... fallen completely off of it. It's just not my bag.
Right. So the original Toy Story number one came out at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
With 92% audience score. Toy Story 2 also at 100% with 86% of the audience score, which I'm guessing, you know, when people, you know, the second one is never as good as the first one.
In people's eyes,
because you want the exact same movie but different.
Exactly. It's like, this isn't the same movie, and you're like, yes, because we've progressed and there's characters that do stuff and have learned or maybe not learned from their experiences, but you need to move on from that. They're like, no, we want the exact same thing. But then there's people who complain about it being the exact same thing.
The third one dropped to 98% Rotten Tomatoes.
And you know
with
what?
89% audience score.
I'm also just thinking about the simple fact that Rotten Tomatoes wasn't around when the first two came out. So I feel that there's a sort of negative review effect where people want to get their reviews read. So they'll label them more negative, or they'll talk about things that maybe weren't issues, or they were there, or whatever reason was apparent in the older ones that, overall people are going to be happy with. And they're not going to bring out the nitpicking for it.
But like I said, it was like 100, 100, 98, 98. So
yeah, I mean,
it's not bad. They're not doing bad. go ahead.
I was just going to say, Toy Story in general is just such a staple because it's such a cool story. Get it? Ha, ha, ha. Honestly, when I was a kid, I remember thinking that's exactly what I'd want to happen to my toys is have them come to life.
Right?
So
I remember
get that.
Stuff like reading the book The Indian in the Cupboard and stuff like that where it was a little magical cupboard that had a little Indian toy in it. You turn the key and poof, he became a real person. Albeit tiny, and it was that sort of thing. As you always think about those.
And Buzz Lightyear had a great catchphrase.
What was that catchphrase?
To infinity
and beyond.
Thank you.
And it's pretty awesome. I mean, you have Tom Hanks and Tim Allen back again. But I'm looking at the cast, and I didn't realize how many big names. I mean, of course, you have like Wallace Shawn and John Ratzenberger. You know, they were the originals.
Yeah.
Rex and Ham, Blake Clark as Slinky Dog, Don Rickles as Mr. Potato Head. But then we have Christina Hendricks. Keanu Reeves
is in this?
Yeah, it says Duke Kaboom.
Oh, yeah, there are some Twitter hashtags that were, I mean, because everyone's in love with Keanu. Luciano now.
Oh, yeah.
And they have him doing his lines, or at least doing some of the readings. And yeah, absolutely.
This is very much his year. And then Keegan and Jordan are going to be in it. Like Keegan Michael Key and Jordan Peele are also in this. So
they're
it's
Ducky
like,
and Bunny.
I know. You've probably seen them. If you've gone to a movie recently, you've seen them in the little commercials they do.
Mm-hmm.
But another movie that is coming out this week... Child's Play.
Yeah. We're going to take Vicky to this so she cries.
No, I'm good.
And here's an interesting thing with this, and I've talked about it where I was like, I don't know necessarily if I'm too down for this movie, because instead of having my demonically possessed doll, it's just an AI gone rampant doll.
I have seen the trailer for this movie. Yeah.
The doll looks kind of creepy. I know some people are like, he doesn't look like the original Chucky. It's like, okay, well, the original Chucky was what, 30 some years ago?
Yeah.
I'm with you, though, Rev. I liked the idea, but it doesn't fit the story of Chucky, because
it's a new Chucky for a new world. AI's taking over everything. But on that same note, I've heard a lot of people saying that it's a lot of gory fun, and it harkens back to those 80s slashers. So maybe, you know what? Exactly. It's one of those, I'm like, you know, I think maybe I will go check this out.
And, I mean, it's Mark Hamill is doing Chucky's voice. And Mark Hamill,
which would be weird.
I think it's awesome. I hope it does it a little different than the Joker and the Batman series. But it's just incredible to hear his regular voice and then to go into Joker. So I want to see what... I want to just maybe hear a commercial. I don't want to see the movie of him doing the Chucky voice. And then Aubrey Plaza is also in this.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Grumpy Cat.
And here's the thing, Vicky. I'm going to tell you, we're going to go to Toy Story. And then somehow, I don't know how we ended up with it. You're just going to end up in Child's Play.
And super glued to your seat.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I'm going to take you to a 40X movie, not tell you, and on full blast.
Okay, this joke is over.
Screw you.
It's not happening anymore.
I don't want to.
Joke's on her, Rev, after that, anyway.
There is one more movie. Okay. You want to see Russian supermodel assassin spy.
Oh, yeah.
Anna. Which actually does not have a rating yet.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
And I forgot to mention, Child's Play has 65%.
You know what? And that's not too bad. I mean, it's a remake. It's a horror remake. A lot of people are not going to be down for that sort of thing.
And it's only been 25 reviews.
Okay. So, I mean, at that point, we'll have to see how that goes. I mean, with Anna, they've got some fun action scenes in that. I've seen the trailer. Go check out the trailer and see if it's something for you. But it looks like a lot of fun choreographed fight scenes and maybe not a whole lot in the whole story. But, I mean... At this point, Russian model spy.
I miss Angelina Jolie already. I can tell you that.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.